Welcome everybody to another exciting episode of HomeKit Insider, where we cover all the best HomeKit news. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and frequent gopher monger, Stephen Robles. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Gopher mongering, that sounds like villain level things. I like it. Could have been like, what was the Incredibles? Oh, that was Mole Man? Moley?
I have no idea what you're doing. I have no idea.
You know, you never seen The Incredibles, Pixar movie?
Yeah, but I can't remember what mole character there was.
Oh, the mole guy, yeah. At the end of the first one, he comes up in like the Ninja Turtle style digging machine.
Oh my gosh, how is that the reference? First off, with any gopher reference, you should have immediately went to Caddyshack.
Can I be honest? I've never seen the whole movie.
Oh my gosh, stop.
I know.
Sorry everyone, we're going to have to cut the podcast short this week. Steven needs to go catch up on pop culture.
I know it's like illegal to not have seen that and Groundhog Day. I've not really seen those. But anyway, I'm giving too much away. That we're gonna have listeners tweeting at us saying I can't believe.
Go watch some movies.
Well, I will do that. But let us also go talk about HomeKit. Sorry, I was trying to make a transition there. It wasn't great.
Nope.
But you know, we're gonna go with it. Here's the news: Level Lock, HomeKit maker of locks, deadbolts, all that kind of stuff. They have a new lock coming out. Supports Alexa. But I saw this, and this is my question to you. I saw this. It's like sleeker. It looks great. You know, I'm pretty sure as I go into my new house pretty soon, this is going to be the lock I use on my front door. So now they have the Level Lock Touch and just regular Level Lock without touch. But people were asking this on Twitter. Do you know if this new Level Lock supports Apple's new like home key thing? I saw some people saying yes. Some people weren't sure. Any idea?
So when I was writing up the PR on this, I asked Level and they would not tell me.
Okay.
They basically just said they have nothing to share at this time.
Well, that's mysterious.
I know. Honestly, we still don't know enough about HomeKey, right? To know really what's going on there. Like,
that's true.
Is it going to be hardware dependent? I will say that Level was not among the manufacturers listed on Apple's slide of HomeKey. Mm. So, I don't know with certainty, and they may be waiting until, you know, HomeKey is more like finalized. I mean, like something like that is going to be all on the developer side, all on the MFI side. So it's not something that Apple is going to publicly share, right? Like what the hardware requirements are and if this can be added via firmware updates or what. So we just don't know enough about it. And I don't know if that's why Level would remain mum. I mean, they pretty much support, you know, they've supported HomeKit since the beginning. They exclusively supported HomeKit at the beginning before going down this bad route of partnering with Amazon on stuff.
Well, because we still don't know whether HomeKit is like NFC or ultra wideband related.
Yeah, or Bluetooth or what.
Yeah, there's not much details on it. But anyway, it looks really good. Did you have any other thoughts on the actual new Level Lock? I think I would go with this over the Level Lock Touch. I probably wouldn't touch my lock very often because you got your phone, your Apple Watch, hopefully HomeKey pretty soon, maybe-ish.
Okay, so here's what I would say. There's to be clear what there is to what is available through Level. So the original Level Lock, the invisible lock that we covered so much, is now, they renamed it a while ago, probably as they were working on this one. They renamed it the Level Bolt. And that is just the hardware that goes inside your door. Keep your door hardware and you put the little motor and the deadbolt inside your door, right? So that's the Level Bolt. Then there's the Level Touch, which is your high end, and it includes all your door hardware. So like the actual key piece on the outside and the throw on the inside, all of that. And like you said, it's touch sensitive. So you can go up to it, tap it, and that'll unlock your door.
Right.
That's the Level Touch. And now there's the Level Lock, which fits right in the middle, and it's basically just a combination of the two. So it's all the interior hardware and the outterior hardware, or exterior hardware, outterior. This is what happens when we record in the morning,
folks. Let's make it happen. Outterior. Yep. New phrase.
New phrase. I like it. It's got all your exterior hardware as well as the interior hardware. It's just not touch sensitive. So it's basically like the Level Touch, but without the you know, touch sensitive surface. So if you're in need of new hardware, like the hardware looks really nice. Like it looks very sleek and stylish. Like I really like the look of their hardware. So if you want the hardware, then you should go like the Level Lock. If you have existing door hardware that you don't want to replace, you can save the $50 and just go with the Level Bolt on the inside. Mm. Now, like you were saying about you were going with this one because you're not going to like touch your door much and you'd rather like use HomeKey and things like that. Honestly, right now, partially because we don't know a lot about HomeKey,
yeah,
I would almost lean towards this, like the Level Touch versus HomeKey. Mm. Because HomeKey is still going to require you to get out your phone or your Apple Watch to authenticate and do that. Whereas the Touch, you literally go up to it and you touch it and then it communicates with your phone in your pocket, authenticates, and then unlocks.
Mm.
To me, that seems more convenient. If you got a bag full of groceries, you can just touch it with the back of your wrist and your door unlocks.
Okay.
Versus having to pull out a key and authenticate. The HomeKey advantage is you can share keys.
Right.
You can share virtual keys inside of the Level app or through HomeKit, but it's easy to share the pass just through, you know, the wallet app.
Right.
Assuming that's a thing, because we still don't know with 100% certainty on anything right now. That would be very easy just to share a, you know, door key versus something else.
Okay.
So I can see that benefit there, but really, I kind of like the Touch better than HomeKey, at least right now.
Well, and I would say, like you were saying, if you don't need to buy a HomeKit lock at the moment, maybe wait, especially for the fall time when we get more details about HomeKey, what brands will support it, can it be added in a firmware update? Like those are some pretty important details. So I would wait if you can and see what happens. But this looks really cool. It is already HomeKit compatible. So if you just want a HomeKit lock, this is HomeKit already. So we'll put a link in show notes. Check that out. Level Lock. Also, the IKEA frame, we had talked about it a couple weeks ago. It is called the Symfonisk picture frame speaker. They officially launched it. So before it was just a rumor, kind of leaked through their website, but now it's official. It will be available July 15th for $199, $200. And they actually have a picture in the article, in the Apple Insider article, which again, link in show notes, but they show the speaker and there's like a speaker behind whatever is in the frame. And, you know, I had mentioned about bass before and not sure. And again, this is a Sonos powered picture frame. And I don't know, the speaker, I feel like maybe there's some, you know, juice that thing might be able to push out. It might have actually decent sound. So I'd be curious to hear it in person. But if you want to have a hidden speaker somewhere with a cable that's not really hidden, sticking out the back, I guess you could fish it through a wall. But it's a pretty cool idea. It'll be available July 15th.
Yeah, no, I dig these things. I've always liked the Symfonisk line from them. The table ones I thought were amazing.
Mm.
And I think this is a good design. I mean, they're doing the same kind of pattern they did with the first two, right? They're blending in your speakers into your home because people don't always know where to put a speaker or don't have a spot to put a speaker. So now they're making it easy by just making it wall mountable. And they're keeping it, like, unlike a regular speaker, which could be mounted to a wall, it's super thin and meant to look almost like a piece of artwork versus a techie speaker. Granted, you got the cable, but if you're putting this, like, behind a couch or something like that,
that's true.
The cable's not going to be so much in the way. So I dig this. I think this is a great, great idea. I don't think the price is bad. I like this whole Sonos IKEA partnership that they keep doing.
So, random question you may not know, but if you were to get two of these and maybe put it on either side of a sofa for some symmetry, could you create a stereo pair?
I did not read this anywhere, but I would be 90 some percent sure that yes, you could, because you could do it with the other Symfonisk speakers. You can do it with any other Sonos speakers.
Okay.
And you can likely use these as rear surrounds for any Sonos soundbar. So if you got the Beam or the Arc in your living room, and you put a pair of these behind your couch as the rear surround, you should be able to do that too.
That's pretty cool.
By the way, since we're talking about like the whole Symfonisk line in general, these just launched and they're new covers, like face covers for the Symfonisk bookshelf speaker. So this company, Unisk, out of like the Netherlands or something. Yeah.
Nice.
They have a new collection of covers that are with recycled felt to personalize the IKEA Symfonisk bookshelf speaker. These are cool. I told you already that I love the bookshelf speaker, and this is just like a really neat way of replacing like the black or white grill covers that already comes with it. Like there's a bunch of different colors. I sent you a few, Steven.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're really neat. So if you've got like the bookshelf speakers, maybe take a look at this and personalize them a little bit more to your space.
Very cool. Yeah, they look nice. Now for a review. We've talked about smart shades before, the Hunter Douglas being one of the main brands out there. And you had a massive review of the Hunter Douglas shades. And I don't know, I got some funny questions about going up and down with the the direction. It's pretty fun. But break down Hunter Douglas shades review.
Yeah, so we did like a mini review of these already. Now, like a little bit more time has passed and I have like a full written review up on Apple Insider full of photos and other helpful touches. I mean, obviously, there is like a lot to go over with this, so I don't want to like, you know, ramble on for too long, but really it's just a very premium set of HomeKit powered shades. So the ones that I opted to go with are the Duet Honeycomb shades, and they have the top down, bottom up design. So you can make like the bottom go up and down like you normally would with any pair of shades, but you can also have the top go down at the same time or instead of, which gives you like a lot of different options because you can literally like make it into a small bar and like follow the sun as it's like going through the sky. So you can still keep your window open, but avoid like a sun staring at you in your eyeball, which is really helpful.
Right.
Yeah. So they connect to their PowerView hub, which is plugs into your router. Very easy to set up. There are two physical remotes that I got to go with it. They call them pebbles. And they're like, right, literally like kind of like rock shapes. Like they're like very soft and like rounded ovals. And they come in a bunch of like really cool colors. I just got like black and clear. And one is the regular controller. There's six buttons on there to program to either a single set of shade or a like a collection of shades. So maybe, you know, if you had like a huge house, you could have like one connected to all your kitchen shades, two connected to your living room shades, like three, the den, and you'd like point to your rooms and just like control them. But yeah, so you can just choose your shade, move it up and down, pretty easy. Then there's a scene controller. You can choose any scenes you want. Like I have like a halfway up, halfway down, and a couple other ones in there. So you can just jump through and choose your scenes through the scene controller. We've said this before, physical controls, they are important. And I'm pretty sure my wife would hate me if I got another set of shades without any physical way to control them. Because Apple's assistant doesn't always listen to her. And you need some sort of physical way to control them. If you have guests over or anything like that, it's obnoxious. So physical controls are very good to have. So there's the two physical controllers. It is battery powered. There is a little battery pack that plugs into the back. It hides just behind the shades when they're all the way up there. It's really easy just to pop it out and swap it out with another one. Battery will last a year on a single charge. There is the charging stand has two slots in it. So you can either like have two batteries and switch them out. So you're never out of power on your shades. But I think it's more useful if you've got a lot of these going on. Like if you have like an array of, you know, living room windows with a set of these on each, then you could go ahead and like charge two batteries at the same time. So you're not like out of power for too long.
Gotcha.
So I think that's a good little touch that they did there. There is a repeater. If you have a home where your hub is far away from your windows, you can move that around too. So Hunter Douglas did think through a lot of the details in actually setting and running their PowerView smart shades. There's like 22 different styles or window treatments of like different, like there's like heavy material roller, there's like wood woven textures, there's all sorts of different like window treatments available. So there's just a huge amount of them. We ended up with like this heathered gray, like the Duet one that I said, which just looks really like kind of like neutral. Like we're in a studio, so I don't try to go with anything that's too colorful because I don't want any like ambient light to be like tinting the set or anything. So I did just go with kind of a neutral gray, and it's not the blackout. They did have a blackout version. This is like the light filtering. So it kind of like some light kind of shines through, but you're getting the privacy and everything else you want from shades.
Again, we'll put the full review in show notes. You can read everything, very detailed. You, in the review, said someone installed it for you. How was that experience?
Oh, that was really nice. So, and it's a little bit different because you can't just go and like hit add to cart and buy your Hunter Douglas shades. When you go through like their website, they basically have you set up a consultation or find a specialist in your area that can help you order them. There's stores too that you can order them at. So you can go into a store and do that stuff. With something like the smart shades, I feel like it's important to not screw it up. Like we bought, like for a lot of the windows in the house, we just bought some off the shelf ones. We even cut them ourselves and, you know, installed them. And if I screwed it up, it's a pretty small cost. But if I went and measured this and I measured it wrong and I put the wrong number in or something weird like that, it would be a much more expensive mistake. And especially if you got a lot of windows going on, yeah, I think it's better to play it safe sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they had like a whole like white glove installation service. So a tech came out, he measured the window, and he helped me choose the colors and everything like that. Then he scurried on his way, put the order in, came back a few weeks later, did the install, and it was super easy. He went and he was very, very detailed, and originally it was like squeaking a little bit, and he's like taking it apart and trying to figure out like what this little squeak is. Like, I feel like other techs would have been like, oh yeah, that'll go away over time, or just something to kind of get out of there. He was like, you know, really going through it, and he ended up finding like a small little piece that was like sticking out and like rubbing or whatever. So he like fixed it, and it's never squeaked once in the time that I've had it. So he was just super detailed about that stuff, gave the adjustment tools, got all the install done, and then he set up the remotes, set up all the scenes that we wanted. We talked through a bunch of different possible scenes and programmed those onto the remote, set up the hub. Yeah, everything that was needed, they took care of. They even helped add it to HomeKit on the spot before heading out.
Oh, wow.
So it was just, awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was take care of everything. Don't worry about anything. You can just show up and your shades are like perfectly installed, level, everything that you need.
How much was the install additionally to the shades?
I don't remember.
Okay. But no. There is an additional cost to that.
Yes, I believe there is an additional cost versus doing the install yourself. And you can install yourself if you want to, I believe. It just depends on how, like, you know, handy you are and what you're comfortable doing.
Gotcha. Well, very cool. Again, full review in the show notes. Check it out if you're looking for HomeKit-enabled shades.
I think the best part to look at in the review, because we tried to talk about it the last time about the HomeKit control, is with the top-down, bottom-up.
Right.
The way it shows in HomeKit is like opposite for the one rail, and it messes with your head.
Right.
It's confusing to describe. And if you check out the review, I have pictures of like the PowerView app, which is nice because you can see like a visual representation of like the sky versus your shades. Then I show you the two different sliders inside of HomeKit and then what the window actually looks like. So you can kind of piece together at how like the one shade is like flip upside down, and you have to remember that the whole time. And you have to do a little math that they can't equal more than, you know, both windows cannot equal more than 100% open. I can't open one with the bottom shade up 60%, and I can't lower the top shade down 70%, because they would try to cross.
Gotcha.
I mean, it blocks anything like bad from happening, but just weird little things like that you have to kind of think of with these. And the biggest problem I had like early on was I'd walk in the studio and say, you know, Siri, open the studio shades. Like, that's what I did in my living room with our other HomeKit connected shades. And it would try to open both of them. It would try to open the top bar and the bottom bar, and then they just sit in the middle. And I'd have like a one really skinny bar just floating in the middle of the window. Yeah, so that was the only weird thing. So if you guys want to like look at that a little more too, just check out the review.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right, so you put a personal project in here, which I don't know if it's as much as a project as what is happening kind of question. And it's with HomePod. What's been going on with your HomePod?
Okay, I almost didn't put this in here because I'm going to be like, oh, everyone's going to think I'm an idiot because I didn't know what was going on with my HomePod. But I spent a decent amount of time trying to see what is going on versus my other HomePods. And I don't see anything, and I don't know what it is. So someone out there is going to tell me I'm a ding-dong and point out what it is, but it doesn't run like scenes without asking me to like confirm it on my iPhone. And that includes, and I don't know if it's all scenes or just like the ones that are including like my door lock, but it has never done this before. And it's like, you must confirm your personal request on your iPhone. And then you'd go to your iPhone and I just have to tap like a Siri icon and then it runs. And I, one, thought this was an iOS 15 thing, but it was happening before iOS 15. And two, it is not doing it on any of my other HomePods that are in the house. Literally just this one HomePod, like my one big HomePod. None of my HomePod minis do this. And it's really frustrating because I'll be like going to bed or something. I've got like an iPad and a water and I'm walking like, hey, okay, good night. And Siri's like, okay, but you have to confirm it on your phone. I'm like, I've got my hands full and now I have to like, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I will say my HomePods have been a pain in the neck lately as well. For some reason, a lot of times music requests are not working with a stereo pair. Now, maybe you could tell me this, but this is the first time I've had a stereo pair of large HomePods connected to an Apple TV 4K as like the default sound system. And I don't know if it's that, because I have other HomePod minis and they're fine. But for some reason, even when I ask for music or sometimes when my kids ask to set a timer, it'll give me the error of like, can't do this right now or can't complete your request. And I have no idea why. Again, I'm not running any betas on anything now, but they've been giving me issues, let alone like, yeah, shortcuts seem to fail as well. But for some reason, they've just been buggy lately. And I know we've had listeners write in and tweet at us ever since like 14.5 maybe, and then 6. I don't know. It just seemed super buggy.
Yeah. I don't know. Something's weird going on. And it,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's like our biggest thing is using that HomePod, like to turn on stuff in the morning and turn off thing at night because we're not, you know, in that room the rest of the day while we're at work.
Are your HomePod minis doing the same thing?
No, or just the big ones? It's just the big one. And right, I've looked through all the settings. Everything is fine. I've turned personal requests on and off. Like nothing is changing it. And I don't understand why out of nowhere it's asking me to like confirm any of these things on my iPhone. It doesn't do with any of my other HomePods. All the settings are identical. I've got no idea.
I bet you there is some conspiracy theorist out there who's going to say this is Apple trying to get us to buy HomePod minis and replace those big ones. I'm not holding to that, but I do think there is some bug. Maybe when 14.7 comes out, I know we just recently had like developer beta 3. I don't know. Hopefully they'll be fixed when it comes out because there's still features supposedly coming to the HomePod, like lossless audio and stuff. And so there will be updates still coming to the big one. So we'll see. Maybe hopefully it'll fix some of this stuff.
Yeah, I guess we will find out.
We'll find out. All right, we have a bunch of listener questions, so we're going to jump into it. This is from JP. He and a couple of other listeners were actually identifying with the issue about the Logitech Circle doorbell camera, or maybe just the Logitech doorbell camera, but the Logitech HomeKit doorbell cam that is overheating and then disconnecting and having issues there. So we've had several listeners kind of confirm this issue, it seems like. And this person was saying that they got a different transformer, like a power thing for their doorbell, and supposedly it helped a little bit more. Is that what you're gathering from this person's email?
Yeah, so we had like a week or so ago, we had someone write in saying they were having issues with their Circle View video doorbell,
right,
with it getting too hot. And then like we talked about on the show, and then since then we've gotten a lot. Like I think there might be a couple, I don't know if there's a couple actual questions in here, but we've had people asking us on Twitter DMs, all sorts of stuff, of a ton of people with like the same issue. So, I mean, it's kind of funny that it just happened because it's like we're just getting into summer and now people are experiencing the doorbells getting hot because, like, you know, in winter and it was just never hot enough
for
the doorbells to have an issue. Now, Logitech's like stuff does, someone mentioned this, I don't know who it was, but they pointed out that they contacted Logitech support and they said like 104 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that is where it'll be too hot, I think around there. Right. And if it's in sun or anything like that, it can easily get that hot. I mean, this thing is black, and if it's in the sun, it's just going to get hot pretty darn quick.
Toasted.
Yeah. So that definitely seems to be an issue. So JP wrote in and his thing was when it was lower than, it was his transformer that wasn't providing consistent voltage and it was going lower than 8 volts. So they do take a, you know, array of voltages. So when he upgraded to a 16-volt/10-volt for his Logitech, then it ran a lot cooler and he hasn't had any of the issues with it overheating. He says, but I will say, he says his is not in direct sun, but he is in SoCal. So it still gets pretty darn hot, but it isn't in direct sun. So I'm not saying this is going to fix everyone's problem. Hey, if you're that curious and you want to try to tinker with your transformer and not hold us liable for anything, then go ahead.
Yeah, that last part is key. We do not confirm or deny that this power adapter.
Especially that last part.
May or may not work. We have no responsibility. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
That was for the lawyers.
Perfect.
Even though we don't have them. Okay, next question. This comes from Ron. And this is a question that we have had in the past about using a turntable and AirPlay. He has a turntable, record player, and he wants it to be able to AirPlay to AirPlay speakers. And he was doing things with his iMac and all this kind of stuff. He was looking at the Sonos. But I will refer him to what we answered someone previously, which this is another hacky way of doing it. But there's an app available for iOS and iPad called AirCord. And then there is a device called the Headset Buddy Line Level Audio, like built-in iPhone such and such. And basically what these two pieces of equipment do is you can go from the turntable to an iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad, and then it can AirPlay from there, from that iOS device, to whatever AirPlay speaker you have. Now, this does mean you have to use an iOS or iPad device just to play the turntable stuff. But, you know, he was talking about he doesn't want to spend $450 to $500 on like a Sonos thing. These two pieces of equipment, I mean, the line level thing is $22. The AirCord app, I think it's like a couple dollars or something. So you got like $20-something there. And then, oh no, it's free. AirCord app is free. So you got nothing there. You can buy like an old iPod Touch, or if you just have an older iPhone laying around, and basically just dedicate it as the device. And you can get an iPod Touch for like $200 new. You can get a used one probably for $100 and just leave it dedicated as the thing that's going to AirPlay the turntable music to AirPlay speakers. So that's the solution we've told people in the past, and I'll put links to those two things in show notes. But yeah, I think that's kind of how the best, cheapest way to do it.
Yeah, there just isn't any AirPlay 2 transmitters right now. We've seen, you know, there's a lot of AirPlay 2 receivers to turn dumb speakers into right. AirPlay 2 smart speakers. And we even saw a few like original AirPlay transmitters, which may or may not have been officially licensed products, but in terms of AirPlay 2, there's just nothing in that realm. I don't think it would be a super cheap product either, and I don't know how big the demand is, because other than turntables, there's not a lot of like terrestrial non-smart devices that people are going to be trying to AirPlay. So right. It's a pretty niche market, which is unfortunate, because I feel like there's a lot of people with turntables and would want to be able to play them on things like their Sonos or any other speakers that you have around. I don't think that's a bad idea. I was thinking the same thing. The Sonos port is what he was talking about, or Play 5, and the Sonos port, I believe, you can like connect to, and then it brings it part of your Sonos system. Mm. And then he could, because of this, how the Sonos stuff like works, he could just connect it to any of his other Sonos devices through the Sonos app. You could just pair them all together and play it that way. But it's not a cheap investment, and I think just picking up an old iPod or old iPhone, anything like that, and just using it as an AirPlay device is a perfect idea.
Very cool. We have a question here from Colin in Raleigh, North Carolina. He also had the Logitech Circle View doorbell issue with the overheating, but he also has another question asking about keypads to use with smart lock systems. And he has the Level Lock, likes that, but wants to have some kind of keypad where someone can put in a, you know, 4-digit code and unlock the door without having to use their phone or whatever. Now, the August locks, which are HomeKit compatible, I know they actually make an August keypad for those locks, but I don't think Level Lock makes one themselves. Do you know of any compatible keypads that would work with Level Lock?
I don't. And he kind of puts it in like a good idea of like that needs to be like a HomeKit category.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's not. So yeah, August has one. That's what I use. There's like a big reason why, which is that my mother-in-law does not have a smartphone. So I can't share like HomeKit control. I can't share through the August or the Level app or anything like that. So if we went to like, if we use like the Level Touch or the Level Lock or any of those, there'd be no way for her to get in other than a key, which is fine. If we want to make one key and give it to her, then that's doable. But
right.
I just don't like handing out keys. I feel like something for them to keep track of, keep hold of, and remember where it is, remember when they come over. And I think just a passcode is far easier. So I get where he's coming from of wanting, you know, a keypad. And it would be nice to have it as like a HomeKit category where you could program it and be able to connect it and have it control whatever locks that you want. But right now, that is not a thing. We also had a follow-up email on a question that we had, I think, last week, Stephen, where we talked about someone who is trying to trigger an alert or an automation when his like power goes offline. And he was trying to find like a way to tinker with like some sort of like contact sensor or something, but all contact sensors are magnets, so they can't like detect like a power draw or anything.
Right.
But someone did write in saying what they do for something similar is use a HomeKit connected camera. because with iOS 14, Apple added the ability to get those offline and online alerts. So if you would connect one of these HomeKit cameras and then your power would be killed, you would get an alert on your phone that your Ecobee smart camera has gone offline. And then from there, you have your alert and do whatever you want with. So I don't know if that would work with what our, you know, listener was trying, but it's a possibility.
So our last question today, this comes from Christopher in a DM. He's looking to create a shortcut. So Christopher would like it that when he leaves home, a shortcut is triggered that lets him know whether or not his doors are open or closed. Now, there are, of course, HomeKit contact sensors that let you know if a door is open or closed, but I don't know if there'll be some report that you can generate to say, like, these doors are open or these doors are closed. I'm going to go in here and try to do it, but...
Well, I think while you look, so I don't have to look, this seems like it could be a thing. It seems like it should be possible because there is, you know, your contact sensors in there and you can run a shortcut. You can run conditionals in a shortcut based on whether, you know, a light is on or off, or in this case, a door or window is closed. So I do think that this is a possible thing. But he says, I've tried, but so far failed. And I'm not sure if he failed based on writing the shortcut or he wrote it, but it doesn't work correctly, or if it's like a connection issue. Because my first thought is, and this is something that I've noticed, that if you have like, you know, a contact sensor, like a Bluetooth one that's too far away or something, that's not getting a connection to your home hub and you're out of your house with your phone, so it's not got that to connect to anymore, make sure you have like a solid connection to all of your, you know, Bluetooth contact sensors in your home, or any Thread ones. Like if you've got like the Eve door and window works with Thread now, but this just might be something that someone who is like really good at writing shortcuts wants to tackle. But to me, it seems like something that you should be able to do. Did you figure anything out, Steven? Like, can you see?
Apparently. So this is a second issue. So I have two homes right now. I have my office and the home where we're living in the home app, you know, you switch between those. And so I started creating an automation and I use the trigger as when I leave home, because that's what Christopher wants to do. But it allows me to choose my office where I have a contact sensor. But then when I go to the devices, which to select, I can't see my office devices, I guess because I'm not physically there right now. So it lets me select the office, but not see any of the devices to control in this automation. So that's kind of annoying. So I might have to try this later, but let me actually see. So if you create an automation, choose when I leave home as the deal, and you convert it to a shortcut at the bottom, before you select any devices, you scroll all the way down, you convert to shortcut, and then you set scenes and accessories. Can you choose a contact sensor from that select scenes and accessories?
I mean, I'm looking, this is fine. So I did not go through the home app. I just went through shortcuts. I created a new automation.
Right.
I chose when I leave, and then I did scripting and then did a conditional for if. So then I just chose if front door contact sensor state is closed. And then you would just loop that through for every door that's in the house.
Right. And then you can, in shortcuts,
send out a notification to yourself.
You could send a notification or a text to yourself or however you want to be notified. You can do that. So I would say yes. So start in the shortcuts app, create an automation for when you leave home, and you can choose the if conditional. I think if you just search for if, it'll come up. But if such and such sensors are open or door, you know, door is open or door is closed, and then you can add like a text block if you want to just see a certain amount of text, or do like a push notification, or there's actually a message block where you can send a message to yourself and it will tell you this is open or this is closed and all that. I mean, if you're really fancy, I'll try to do it when I get to the contact sensor in my office, but you might be able to combine some of those things so you can get one report. You might need to like set a variable and say whatever the status of this contact sensor is, set variable to front door. And then this one, say it variable to backdoor. And then you can have like a text block at the bottom of the shortcut where it says, you know, you use the magic variables to say, back door is, and then status, and then front door is status, and you should get like a report of if there's any doors or, you know, anything open or closed. So I'll try it again. I apologize. For some reason, I can't see my contact sensors in another location from where I am. I will try that, but it looks like it's possible. We will follow up on the next episode to see if that is actually a thing. I'm going to try and set it up later today. I'm going to be in the office. So anyway, Christopher, it's a great question.
Yeah, I'd say definitely doable. That's a good idea. I like that, and especially bundling any windows as well. Because for me, it's not even the doors. It's like the windows that we have open. Like, did we shut all of those? That's definitely good to know.
Yeah, for sure. Great question. We will get that to you next week, listeners. And I'll try to make a shortcut. So shortcuts like that, it's hard to share because you have to choose your own home devices in your own home. But we'll take some screenshots and put that in probably next episode once we doubly confirm that this thing is going to work. So great questions this week. Listeners, keep sending them in. Tweet at us, DM, you can email us. All that info is in the show notes. Follow us there. Let us know what HomeKit projects you have going on. We'd love to hear from you. And if you haven't yet, we haven't had a review in a couple weeks. We would love a 5-star review and rating in the Apple Podcast app. And don't forget, we have awesome videos going up on the Apple Insider YouTube channel all the time. So go to youtube.com/Apple Insider and you can subscribe there. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.